الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، في وداع رمضان، in giving farewell to Ramadan, the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began the khutbah by saying, just yesterday we were together smelling the fragrance and enjoying its early beginnings, and we were having a good time in the blessings that are found in Ramadan. We were acquiring good deeds in the ocean of its good deeds, and each day we would return home with luggages of goodness. Just yesterday we were picking from the roses of its garden, and we were finding in its presence tranquility and peace of mind. The souls were almost flying away without wings. And today, where is the month of Ramadan? Wasn't it a few moments ago amongst us? Wasn't it occupying our hearing and our sight? Wasn't it the discussion that we were hearing from the minbar? Wasn't it the adornment of our lives? Wasn't it the product of our marketplaces? Not for many. And wasn't it the life of our masajid? But where is it now? All this has gone, and we are just about to turn over the page, and whatever we have done will become nothing but a memory. And verily, in the soul there is grief and heartache over the departure and the going away of this month. O Muslims, we are in dire need to audit ourselves, to bring ourselves to account in a very precise manner. The one who has been negligent has to repent, has to regret and repent, and seek forgiveness and return. Perhaps if he wasn't able to attain the whole goodness, he may get some. As for the one who was already obedient, he should be concerned about the acceptance of his deeds. And this is very important. The Prophet ﷺ was reciting the Quran, and in Surah Al-Mu'minun, one of the ayat says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who put forth the good deeds which they put forth, while their hearts are in a state of fear that they shall return to their Lord. Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, is this the fornicator? Is this the alcoholic? Is this the thief who does good deeds and does all these other sins, yet he's afraid his deeds will not be accepted? He said, La ya bintu Siddiq. No, O daughter of the Siddiq. It is the righteous man who puts forth salah and siyam and sadaqah, but he does not know whether Allah accepted his deeds or not. The righteous are concerned. Did Allah accept our deeds? Now, when you go to the market and you purchase something, what is your evidence for the purchase? What do they give you? Receipt. Has anyone ever received a receipt for a good deed? Do we get anything coming from the sky saying, Mabruk, your deeds were accepted by Allah, your siyam, your qiyam? No. No clue. So Ibn Umar used to say, لو أني أعلم أن الله قبل مني ركعتين لاتكلت عليهما. لأن الله يقول إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. He said, Ibn Umar, he said, if I knew that Allah accepted only two units of prayer, I would have already depended on them. Because Allah says in the Quran, verily Allah only accepts the deeds of the muttaqin. Meaning, if Allah accepted my deed, I must be among the muttaqin. If among the muttaqin, I'm going to Jannah. But Ibn Umar could not say for two rak'at he prayed that Allah Azza wa Jal will accept them. Today, we are exactly the other way around. And we're doing all kinds of evil deeds, and our good deeds are almost nothing. Half of them is showing off and you know, entertainment and reputation. And then we still think we're going straight to Jannah with our deeds. This is wrong mentality. Wrong mentality. So those who are doing good deeds, we should be concerned, did Allah accept these deeds? Are they acceptable to Allah Azza wa Jal? The righteous predecessors used to pay a great deal of attention on to whether their deeds would be accepted by Allah or not. As some of them used to say, you know, 6 months before Ramadan, they beg Allah to allow them to live to Ramadan. Then 6 months after Ramadan, they beg Allah to accept their deeds in Ramadan. So their whole life was engagement in deeds and good work and worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, concern about the acceptability of their deeds. This was the way of the righteous predecessors, whom we need to follow. Ironically, he quoted the same ayah. Alhamdulillah. So that narration was already quoted. Malik ibn Dinar used to say, fearing whether the deed is accepted, being concerned about whether the deed is accepted or not, is more important than the deed itself. Meaning, anyone can do a good deed. Someone can come to the masjid and stay between Maghrib and Isha. Okay? However, the intention is, I want the people to recognize how good of a Muslim I am and how I spend my time in the masjid. Once this niyyah comes and one accepts it, he entertains it, he doesn't fight it, he doesn't reject it, then his deed is wiped out. Allah will not accept it. Allah says in the hadith Qudsi, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا whoever I am the most self-sufficient of having partners. أَشْرَكَ بِهِ مَعْيَ غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَ. Whoever does a good deed, seeking someone else with me, I will abandon him and his deed. Allah says, you know, with Allah, you want to please Allah, and we want that extra reputation, extra showing off, Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept this deed. It has to be purely for the sake of Allah. So they used to be concerned the acceptance of the deed is more important than the deed itself. Some of them used to appear sad on the day of Eid, Eid al-Fitr. It was said to him, today is the day of joy, today is the day of happiness, of having a good time. He would say, you have said the truth, but I am a slave, and my master had told me that if I do a deed, I don't know whether he will accept it or not. So even after Ramadan, they're concerned, what was accepted of my deeds in Ramadan? Allah al-musta'an. And similarly, you will find that, then the Shaykh said, and this is the kind of accountability we need to, you know, deal with ourselves in. The true Muslim, the true, truthful Muslim will have this kind of attitude. And he said, you see amazing things. How we leave the month of Ramadan and we don't have any guarantee that the deeds were accepted. And hardly anyone thinks, well, did Allah accept my deed or not? I mean, this is something that may not even cross the minds of some. This is something that may not even cross the mind. Khalas, I did my siyam and qiyam, I'm good. We don't think about the element of acceptance. But this was not the way of the righteous predecessors. This is the Shaykh saying, we're not trying to have you despair from Allah's mercy. We're not trying to say, you know, despair from Allah's mercy. But this is so we can bring ourselves to account. So we can be among the muttaqeen. Among their qualities is that they have fear and hope. Fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and hope in Allah's bounty, Allah's forgiveness, Allah's mercy. So we have to have both qualities. If we depend only on Allah's mercy and acceptance and we don't worry about the deeds being accepted or not, we have gone astray. If we go to the other extreme, Allah will not, you know, accept my deeds, I'm no good Muslim, then that's also unacceptable. We need to be somewhere in between. The Shaykh said, all believers, the acceptance of the deed is from the knowledge of the unseen, which none knows but Allah. However, for every matter, there's a sign. And for every transaction, there are indications. And for the deed being accepted also has some signs and indications. And among them, among the signs that Allah accepted the deed, is that the person is able to do it continuously. The person is given the means and the success to do it continuously. This is why some of the Salaf used to say, the reward of the good deed is that Allah will give you another good deed after it. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the most beloved of these to Allah are those which are most continuous, even if they were small. Even if the deed was minor, and maybe a 1 riyal sadaqah, but if one does it consistently, this is among the most beloved deeds to Allah. Better than giving 100 riyals at one time, and then not giving anything over a long period of time. So there are signs. That's a big warning. If we didn't pay attention to the warning, then the warning is right here. If after Ramadan, we go back to our old ways, that tells you already that this is a sign perhaps that the deeds were not accepted. And this year is amazing. I don't know if you noticed. Usually, there's a strong, you know, will in the beginning of Ramadan for some time. And then, you know, things slow down a little bit. Then towards the end of Ramadan, people pick up again. This year is amazing. From the first few days, already those who cannot keep up, they're already out of the picture. In the masjid last night we prayed, there were two rows for the salah. Two rows. Last year I remember we came into the masjid, mashallah, there were 20 rows. Already people are, you know, those who cannot keep up, they're already surrendering. They're already putting up their white flag. They can't keep up. People already abandoned in the masjid. Some people started going back to sleeping during Fajr. Usually you don't sleep for Fajr in Ramadan. Most people stay up till Fajr. You know, things are getting worse. And we need to realize this. When we see the people going down, do we go down with them or do we go up? And we go up. And we try to stick and maintain. So Allah al-Musta'an, if we go back to our old ways after Ramadan, brothers in Islam, then you know what that means. Perhaps these were not accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was among his qualities, consistency. If he did something, he would do it regularly. If he slept during the night or he was sick, he would make up the qiyam during the day by praying 12 rak'at alayhi salatu wasalam. Whenever he would miss the 11 of witr in qiyam because of sickness or travel or the likes, he would pray them the next day, 12 rak'at. This is how consistent he was alayhi salatu wasalam in doing good deeds. Also, there are many benefits for doing, being continuous in doing good deeds. It gives the heart a continuous connection with its Lord. So then your heart will become stronger, more firm and more attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will keep you away from heedlessness and negligence. And it will train you to do good deeds and be patient in doing so. Being consistent in doing good deeds is means to attain Allah's love. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And my slave will continue to draw near to me through voluntary deeds until I love him. At the beginning of the hadith, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My slave does not come near to me in anything more beloved to me than what I made obligatory. The wajib first. Then after you do everything that is obligatory, we will continue to draw near to Allah until we acquire His love by doing voluntary good deeds. By doing voluntary good deeds. Also among the benefits is that it is means to be protected at the time of calamities. The Prophet ﷺ said, احفظ الله يحفظك تعرف إليه في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Safeguard Allah's rights. Allah will safeguard you. Know Allah at the time of ease, He will be there for you at the time of difficulty. So when you're doing good deeds continuously and a calamity strikes, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you patience. And you read the story about the young girl who was lost in Mecca. The 14-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl who was lost in Mecca. Her parents are from, I believe, Indian. They came from Jubail. They were doing Umran and whatever for a few days. And while they were waiting for the bus, they were walking by. Her mother gave her some riyals to give to the poor people. And the father turns around and his daughter is gone. Can you imagine? I mean, you cannot even imagine. Your child, 14, 15-year-old girl, is suddenly missing. And the bus is taking off. They need to go back to Jubail. And the father is in this tough situation. A very tough situation. If you don't have Iman, you will lose it. If Allah doesn't keep you firm, people at this time who don't have strong Iman, they disbelieve in Allah. Some of them say crazy things. Why would Allah do this to me? This is the wrong mentality. I came here to do ibadah. I came to Allah to Umrah. He will take away my daughter. This is a shaitanic, you know, thinking. But Allah Azza wa Jal kept him firm. And she returned. Alhamdulillah, they found her in the hospital after 4 days. Her father couldn't sleep. 4 days. He couldn't sleep. But what happened? He prayed all the salawat in the haram. He remained, he sent his wife and his other children back home to Jubail. He remained in the area and he wound up praying all the salawat in haram. This is good for him. Even though they, what appeared to be evil, actually has goodness. Perhaps Allah seen that this man was going to go away from him. So he afflicted with this calamity so he can beg Allah. He can cry for Allah. He can worship Allah. Yeah, all these are good for the man and for the family. But this is when Iman is there. When we have a relationship with Allah, when we safeguard Allah's deen, when we protect the Quran and the Sunnah today, if we are ever in such a situation, may Allah protect all of us, Allah will give you Iman and Sabr, so that you can handle something that usually people cannot handle. But if we don't protect Allah's deen, if we hear the Quran and the Sunnah, it goes from this ear and right out of this one, if such calamities strike, we have no guarantee that we will be preserved. Allah may allow us to go astray. So we need to be very careful. Know Allah at the time of ease, Allah will be there for you at the time of difficulty. And Allah has given us many, many easy commands, which we do not carry out for whatever reason. Among the benefits is that it means for you to have a good end. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Those who strive in our cause, we will guide them to the path. And verily Allah is ever with those who excel, those who have excellence in their deeds. And already I've received through text message, there's this company called Qirat. They send you SMS messages about where janazah is taking place in the different masajid. Already twice in the message they mention that two men died in Salatul Taraweeh. Alhamdulillah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine you leaving home thinking, you know, you're telling your wife and your children, I'll be back after Salah, we'll have dinner, after Salah we'll go out, you know, you're making plans for Eid and everything. The man comes to Salatul Taraweeh and this was his end. But Alhamdulillah, dying in Salah is better than dying elsewhere. Are we going to die anyways? If you die in Salah, this is a ni'mah from Allah. This is called Husnul Khatima, the good end. On the other hand, you go by some of these wicked coffee shops and people have another kind of qiyam called Shisha Qiyam. While people are praying Taraweeh, we have some losers in the coffee shop smoking and, you know, you walk by, wallahi, you don't believe it. What loss is this? What loss? Yani, this tells you that Allah Azza wa Jal does not care about these individuals. These people, Allah does not care for them. Even those who come to the masjid with all the problems, at least Allah brought them to the masjid. If Allah doesn't even invite someone to His house to pray, meaning Allah does not care for these people, period. Unless Allah wills to guide them afterwards. And someone may die in the coffee shop smoking. His last thing in his life was a cigarette in his lips. Good end. If you do good deeds now, Allah Azza wa Jal most likely will give you a good end. And if you die in this fashion, you will be resurrected in the same fashion. When a man died, وَقَصَتْهُ دَبَّتُهُ فِي الْحَجِّ When a man was killed by his camel, the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, shroud him with his ihram. Verily he will be resurrected on the day of judgment, mulabbi. He will stand on the day of judgment saying, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ So the ulama understand from this hadith that however you die, you will be resurrected in the same fashion. If you die in sujood, you will be resurrected in the state of sujood. And those who are dealing with riba, كَمَا يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ They will also be resurrected like someone who's been afflicted with jinn. Someone who's crazy because of their dealing with riba today. So we need to fear Allah Azza wa Jal and abandon the riba. Among it is that it's the quality of the righteous believers. Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'arij, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ Dawam, daiman means always. Those who are always safeguarding their salah. Not only in Ramadan, they're always praying on time, always praying in the first row, always praying in a manner according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh said, O slaves of Allah, take advantage of the remaining nights. Take advantage of the remaining days in the month of Ramadan. Recite the book of Allah Azza wa Jal abundantly, with understanding, with the understanding of the meaning of the Quran, and acting according to it. Our righteous predecessors used to abandon everything in this month and free themselves for the recitation of the Quran and the doing of good deeds. Their tongues were ever moist by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them used to finish the Quran in every 7, and some of them in every 3, and some of them every night. Even though we have narrations where Prophet ﷺ prohibited that you conclude or you recite the whole Quran in less than 3 nights. So the scholars differed about that, and they said those who did that, they either the narration did not reach them, or they made an error. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, do not read the Quran in less than 3 days. Now whoever did otherwise, then they are doing ijtihad. They are ulama. The Salaf, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, they were scholars. Some of them may exert his knowledge. But why does Prophet ﷺ prohibit us from doing the Quran in less than 3 days? Because you don't want to turn it into a medicine book or a science book. You know, children, when they have examinations, they just go through the book as a, you know, revision. But that's not the Quran. This is the book of Allah. This is the speech of Allah. Every ayah should, you know, we should think about for a minute. You know, when Allah told Musa, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا. يعني آيات عجيبة. Verily I am Allah, there is none worthy of worship but I. So worship me and establish the salah for my remembrance. Verily the hour is coming, I'm about to hide it. So each soul will see what it has put forth. Ayat, you know, that require thinking. Hold on a second. When you read the ayah, do we realize Allah Azza wa Jal's majesty speaking to Musa? Allah commanding us to establish the salah. Do we then establish the salah? Or do we pray like this? Many people pray like this. You think he's not praying. You think he's only, you know, exercising. No, he's in salah. He's looking at the person coming and the person going and what's going on around him. This is unacceptable in Islam. The salah, you're like a slave. You stand like this. You're afraid. You're looking at the place of sujood. You fear Allah Azza wa Jal. You're not, you know, scratching the whole time and looking around in that. But in Taraweeh, you see ajaib. You see amazing things. It's unacceptable. We need to stand before Allah with humility. With humility. Stand in humility. When we reflect on the ayat, it will affect us. When we don't reflect on the ayat, we will be the same. So the Shaykh said, understand the Quran and act according to the Quran. Take advantage of what is left in this month and try to read the whole Quran if you're able to do so. And try to end your month in this fashion, because verily the deeds are according to how they end. And remember that in the remaining nights, perhaps Laylatul Qadr is there. Perhaps it already came and perhaps it is coming. Tonight is the 25th night, right? Inshallah ta'ala. Tonight is the 25th night. So we've already had, you know, many of the ulama, by the way, say it could be in any of the 10 nights. The odd nights are more favored, but any of the 10 nights. And they have references for that. This is not the time to elaborate on that. That's why you should just make an effort the whole 10 nights. And you got nothing to lose. Instead of saying, okay, I'm going to choose the 21st and the 23rd and 25th, it might make it 22nd, 24th, 26th. There's no harm in doing ibadah in the whole 10 nights. Well, we got nothing to lose. If you get the month of Ramadan, Shaykh bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned the following comments concerning that. Why was it called Laylatul Qadr? Does anyone know? Because people get confused, by the way, in English. Well, what do we call Qadr? Some, you know, night of power, night of decree, you know, night of virtue. And actually the word Qadr has a number of meanings. It has a number of meanings. For example, Allah says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They did not estimate Allah in a manner which is due to His majesty. Meaning they did not have the right measurement. It could mean measurement. It could mean virtue. It could mean other things. So the Shaykh said, why was it called Qadr? So it was called Laylatul Qadr because it is the honor that Allah Azza wa Jal will give to someone قدره يرتفع. His status will be raised because of Laylatul Qadr if he was engaged in worship. Secondly, it was called Laylatul Qadr because in that night, the what Allah has decreed for the year will take place. فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم. On that night, every matter of important decision and wisdom, Allah will decide it on Laylatul Qadr. Meaning, what will happen to one of us in terms of his sustenance, in terms of his good deeds and bad deeds and whatever, it will be decreed on Laylatul Qadr, as it comes in Surah Al-Dukhan. Thirdly, it was called because the ibadah on that night is of importance, is very virtuous. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever stands up in prayer in the Laylatul Qadr out of Iman in Allah and seeking His reward, he will have his previous sins forgiven. And the best thing to say, what do you make? What's dua? Which dua do you make on Laylatul Qadr? Hey, actually the hadith doesn't mention the addition Kareem. Okay, Allahumma annaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are the one who pardons. You love pardoning, so pardon me. Or you forgive, you know, afu really means pardoning. Meaning Allah forgives you and there's nothing, there's no reminders afterwards. And Allah will forgive you completely without any consequences of that. So this is an important dua which we should memorize and repeat it abundantly in the salah and the various times we're making dua and so on and so forth, because of the hadith of Aisha which we all know. And further, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, oh Allah, I seek refuge with your pleasure from your anger, and from your pardoning, I seek refuge with your pardoning from your punishment. And send abundant of peace and blessings and exalt the mention of the Prophet ﷺ. In the second part of the khutbah, the Shaykh said, it is very ugly for a Muslim to build the construction of his iman in the month of Ramadan. You build the construction of iman and you adorn it and you beautify it and you make it look nice. And then as soon as the month ends, you destroy your own construction. You know, after you have beautified your iman and made it nice and appealing, then you go ahead and ruin it. And what a terrible act is that. Then he quoted an ayah, وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا. Do not be like the one who after she sewed some clothes and made them tie them, they became loose afterwards. Allah Azza wa Jal prohibited us from imitating this you know, unintelligent woman who after she had made her knot very tight, she loosened it and lost control of it. He said this, however, and unfortunately is the condition of many of us, except those whom Allah Azza wa Jal shows special mercy to. He works and he works and he works in Ramadan until he reaches, you know, a certain level of goodness, and he starts tasting the sweetness of ibadah and the sweetness of humiliation and submission and submissiveness to Allah Azza wa Jal. As soon as Ramadan ends, he puts an end to all of that and he returns the same way he was before the beginning of Ramadan. And the one who reflects in all of that, he will realize that the believer should remain on his good ways after the end of Ramadan. It doesn't end. We don't worship Allah only in one month. We are ibad of Allah Azza wa Jal around the clock, all day, every day. Yes, we may not be able to do as good as in Ramadan because Allah has facilitated the month of Ramadan, made it blessed, so we can do more good deeds, but it doesn't mean we go to the opposite extreme. We have to maintain an average of good deeds which Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with. The Shaykh said towards the end of the khutbah, Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us, this month it requires of us two things. Zakatul Fitr. This is very technical now. Before Salatul Eid. In it you ease the hearts of those who are needy. And the rich person shows compassion to his poor brother. The Prophet ﷺ made it obligatory as means of purifying the errors in one's fasting and in order to feed those who are needy. Each one is expected to pay it out on behalf of those whom he's responsible for. So if you're the man of the house, you have your wife and five children, then you pay zakat al-fitr on all seven. You, your wife and the five children. Now, some of the ulama, like Uthman radiallahu anhu, among the Sahaba, you came again, huh? If so he would give it actually also on the baby which hasn't been born yet. This as means of nearness to Allah. You know, if the woman was pregnant, he will also do, but this is not obligatory. This is only if you wish to be, yani mashallah, if you really want to do good, then you can pay on behalf of the unborn child. Because the Sahabi, the one of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, did so. But it is not stipulated in the Sunnah for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there's a major confusion concerning Zakat al-Fitr. And let me give you the Sunnah. Let me give you the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so we can clearly understand this matter. And each one of us can apply it. Sa' As-Sa' Sa'd Alif-Ain is a measuring tool, equipment, whatever you call it, that does not measure weight. It measures volume. Very important. It measures volume. Meaning, if I had a bucket, and I put in it, I filled it up with fresh dates, how many kilos would that be? Allahu a'lam. Let's say 5 kilos. Then I got the same container, the same bucket, and I filled it up with flour for cooking. How much would the weight be? Way less. As-Sa' al-Nabawi, that measuring tool of the Prophet ﷺ, was not dealing with kilos. It was equivalent today to 3 liters. 3 liters of food. So not 3 kilos. Because you may get something which is less than 3 liters but weighs more, and vice versa. What's the solution? First, don't be lazy. Don't be driving around looking for a tent. You know, they give him 10 riyals, they give you a coupon, salamu alaykum. That's yani ma'lish. Yani this should be your last option. When everything fails and you're about to miss out on Zakat al-Fitr, then this is an option. But this should not be the conduct of the Muslim. You go to a 2 riyal shop and you buy a small container, a 1 liter container. They sell it. Says on it, 1 liter. And you go to Danube, Panda, whatever you shop, or any of these grocery stores, and you actually put it in, that's 1 liter, put it in a bag. Second, whatever the food is, wheat, flour, ilakhiri. Third one, once you have put 3 of those, this is 1 sa'. Now you have paid the zakah on 1 family member. Now you can do, if you want to save time, if you got rice, and it turned out to be 3 kilos, then from the same rice, you just get 3 kilos, 3 kilos, 3 kilos, because you already used it with a measuring tool. If you want to use another kind of rice, or another product, then you need to do the same thing again. It's a little difficult, because it requires time, but Allah will not let this deed go to waste. When you try to apply the sunnah, Allah will bless your life in many different ways. So we should do so. Use liters, don't use kilos. 3 liters, which is equal to 1 sa'. So if you're a family of 8 or 7, times 3 liters, that's 21 liters of food. You can get any kind of food that the people will eat. Don't get food that the people don't eat. Give them something they can benefit from. So this is the sunnah. Today, in order to make it easy for the people, they give you weight equivalent in kilos. 2.5 kilos. That's why you find different scholars saying different things. Some say 3.5 kilos, some say 2.5 kilos. Look, this is inconsistent. And you may wind up not giving what the people deserve. If you can apply the sunnah of the liters, barakallah feek. You got nothing to lose, inshallah. Tayyib. And you must pay it before Salatul Eid. The sunnah is that you do it while you're going out to Salatul Eid. If it's difficult to come across the masakeen or those who deserve it on that time, then you may give it a day or two before. As the Sahaba used to do, nothing more than that. A day or two before to those who are needy. And you cannot give money. No fulus. People say, "Akhi, but you know, today the people don't need rice. The people don't need, you know, garbanz or beans. People need money." Say, "Yeah, okay. Do you think they didn't have money at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Did they have money? They had money. Were there needy people who needed money? They were. Did they ever give them money? Never. Sa'un min tamar. Ibn Abbas said, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to give zakat al-fitr. Sa'un min tamar. A sa'a of dates. Sa'un min ilakhiri." Then he mentioned the kind of food stuff. it must be in food. Can't give him money, can't give him jewelry. And how often do you go to someone and you know they collect, people give him money, then he goes to the magala, he buys a pack of cigarettes and he smokes your zakah. Yeah, zakat al-fitr becomes a smoke for him. You don't know what he will do with the money. When you give him food, what is he going to do? He has no choice but to benefit from the food. This is from the wisdom of the sunnah. Because you give people money, they may mishandle it. They may mishandle it. You're not allowed. It's haram. Haram to give out money. We must give them food. It is preferred that you do it in your locality. You do it for the people here where you live. Some of the ulama say, if you don't find these people, they exist by the way, and you cleanse them, and you want to give it in your homeland, because of a need, you may do so. So now in Pakistan, for example, some of the ulama allow it, even though the asl is that you give it to your locality. You don't pay it elsewhere, you pay it where you live. Ya Wallahu A'lam. So he mentioned the 2 days. Then the second thing, which is required of us in this month before it ends, is the abundance of takbir. Saying Allahu Akbar. Because Allah says, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So you may complete the number of days you missed, and you may glorify and magnify Allah for having guided you, and so that you may be thankful. So it is then, of course, and in the Eid, from the time the sun sets, then takbir begins, and it remains until the Imam, you know, begins the khutbah on Salatul Eid. And it's an abandoned sunnah. The many people are shy. You know, those who disobey Allah, by the way, are never shy. You see people walk driving down the street with the music loud in their car. He's not shy of anyone. Smoking, he's not shy of anyone. He sees a woman walking by, he looks at her, he's not shy of anyone. But the people who love the sunnah, they're too shy to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Why? If the people of evil are not shy, we are going to be shy of worshipping Allah? Revive the sunnah. Walk down the street doing takbir. Ibn Umar and Abu Hurairah used to go to the marketplace and they would do the takbir in order to remind the people. It is not from the sunnah to do it in unison. Meaning one voice, all of us together, Allahu Akbar, Allah. That's not from the sunnah. Each one does it on his own. Habibi, معليش, روح لهناك. يلا امشي امشي. امشي روح لهناك. يلا حبيبي يلا. الله يهديك. Yeah. Not together, individually, women, they don't raise their voices. If they're home, they do it. But if they're mixed with other people, they do not raise their voices. Let us revive the sunnah. Don't be shy. Do the takbir. And the sigha, which we have, is not the one that is popular. We have, you know, in our countries, we have long ones. Special edition. But these special editions are not, you know, approved by the sunnah. The sunnah is one of two. Either say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Three takbir, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar twice, wa lillahi alhamd, or twice, then La ilaha illallah, then twice, then lillahi alhamd. This is what the sunnah taught. Allahu Akbar kabira, wa alhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallah bukra wa asila. This is from our own inventions. Right? I'm sorry. I hate to ruin your day. But this is not, there is no sahih hadith concerning this format of takbir. So we stick to the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba in the manner which I mentioned earlier, without being shy. With that, we conclude the khutbah translation, and forgive me for the delay. Next week perhaps could be Eid. And you know the ruling, if Eid coincides with Jumu'ah, then the Imam should establish both Salatul Eid and Salatul Jumu'ah. However, those who attend Salatul Eid in the morning, they are excused from attending Jumu'ah. If you attend Salatul Eid in the Jama'ah with the Imam, then you no longer have to attend Jumu'ah, you may pray Dhuhr. And if you come to Jumu'ah, there is nothing wrong. If you miss Salatul Eid, you must come to Jumu'ah. If you miss Salatul Eid, you must come to Jumu'ah. This is what the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ teaches us. Okay? So, you know, preferably, if you can come to both, it's fine. Because if you're in the air, you don't want to pray Dhuhr at home while the Imam is actually in the masjid. Your heart should be attached to the masjid, so you find yourself coming to the Jumu'ah. Anyways, I will try inshallah ta'ala to come to the khutbah translation for those of you who wish to attend both Salatul Eid and Salatul Jumu'ah. Then inshallah ta'ala I will try to make it as well to the khutbah of Salatul Jumu'ah on the day of Eid. If it coincides with Eid, if not, then I will be coming anyways with Bismillah Azza wa Jal.
So jazakumullah khairan for your patience. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته